Dude, if you died because of Bud Light lime consumption, I would rub my I rub my ass on your coffin.
Yeah, you should. Actually, if you could be so kind to just rub a lime on it.
I would be like, this is how you wanted to go out. And just,
oh, man.
Welcome back to the Jojatorium. Well, remember too, whenever we found the German Scheisser porn. Let's not lie to each other. You're in twerk classes over there. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
The fitness class.
Working on them TikTok videos you like so much.
Dead face.
Right in front of you.
Welcome back to Jojatorium. You know who it is. It's Adam. It's Matt. And I got 141 2/3% chance of winning round one beers. The numbers don't lie, and that spells disaster for Adam.
Oh, no.
Do you have a business that needs direction? How about a crisp new media packet? Well, how about assistance in developing a business plan? First Sip Studios has you covered. Headed up by Dennis and Samantha Guy, First Sip Studios brings your ideas to life. From the first major project in She Knows Beer to their current expansion into Columbus, Ohio, First Sip Studios has the business acumen to bring your vision to the next level. Just head over to firstsipstudios.com, but just make sure that you tell them the boys sent ya. Welcome back. We are back in the saddle for this one. Adam has just absolutely saved me. I botched up the entire script, so Adam swooped in and saved me. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a true 50-50 episode. Let's see if the listeners can tell what parts I wrote.
It'll be fun to see, too. Because here's the thing I like to do whenever you... Because we had that one episode whenever I went over to the West Coast, and you wrote the entire episode, and I had to edit out so much of my own laughing.
Because... Yeah, I think that's the episode titled Matt Left for Cigs.
Yeah, I went out for cigarettes, and I got tied up in crypto.
So check that out.
Yeah, but... So we are here in the Jojatorium. We have so much to go over, but it is round one. Adam, you saved me a beer. So we're going to put that all together, call it round one beers. What are we drinking?
We're drinking a nice Czech Pilsner from the newly established brewery here in Pittsburgh in the Southside neighborhood, Vellum. It's coming in at 5.3%, and it's just a straight-up Czech lager. So let's crack them.
Get a couple sound effects there. And if you want to know what's going on with Vellum, you can search them out on all social media. That's V-E-L-U-M on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, and all the other good ones too, Threads and the Knot.
Yeah. And while we're pouring this out, I got to stop down to the tap room to grab this. Gigantic space there in the South Side. Just off Carson Street, probably about two blocks. Down near the South Side Slope side of the South Side, for those of you in Pittsburgh. But cool space. Free skee ball was the highlight besides the beers. But some nice outdoor seating. And they had everything from lagers to hazy and West Coast IPAs to your fruited sours. So, well, something for everybody. And they had a great, for you, Matt, a great porter.
Ooh.
That was under 5%. But tasted like it was over 5%.
That's right, baby. This Czech lager, it's got a little bit of sweetness to it. I like it. It's a nice little play.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a flavor out of it. It's not bad.
No.
And it's not an off flavor.
Right.
But I'm getting like a little something that's like cucumbery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
I do like it. It's like refreshing almost. It had that little sweet touch to it. That's a different kind of flavor profile.
For sure. That's pretty good. I'm gonna look it up while you talk about it some more.
Yeah.
Make sure that's not intentional.
Yeah. So while Adam's looking that up, this is their beer ye. So this is coming out just in time for Oktoberfest. Czech Pilsners do take over around this time of season because it gives you a lighter option to consume alongside of all the Marzenfest beers, Schwartz beers, the Helles, the Porters, the everything in between. So this beer is delivering on a different level. And Adam, I'm thinking that have you found what we're looking for here?
Yeah, it's just it's advertised or descripted on Untappd as just Czech lager. So maybe it's just an interesting character from the yeast pitch or something.
A sweet little surprise.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. We'll have to run. Is it on draft?
I don't think this one was. I think it was only in cans when I was there. They had a different pills on draft. When I was there, that was also very good.
I just love it.
But it was a little bit lighter. It was like 4.5, I think.
That's good. It's good.
Very good.
Speaking of good beers, guess what? Adam brought home another medal. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. You embarrassed the shit out of me.
I love you so much, and I like it when you turn red.
So technically, it wasn't metal. It is stone.
Oh, yes. It is a Stein.
Yeah, I got a nice German, old German Stein.
Yeah, for your PA Swanky Stone Mugs and Harmony that we talked about in the last episode.
From the look of it, is historic.
Very much so. Yeah.
For I got a stone mug for my Stone Mugs and Harmony.
It's pretty dope, man. And you got to go to Crush and Brew, of course, because you got to serve this beer there. And from what I can gather, I saw from all the social media posts, it was pretty wild over there.
Yeah, I don't want to discredit any of the other fests we do, but it was a blast. The people attending were so much fun. Just wanted to talk about the beer. Just wanted to talk in general. Had a bunch of people that knew what retired double agent meant.
Oh, nice.
But just fun. It gave me kind of, can't think of the word, nostalgia for what homebrew and chill is like. Because, like, when we go out to Greensburg, it's that way, too. Like, people are just into it. They're not, maybe not so jaded like people in the city are. Like, I already know all this stuff. So I get to teach a little bit and have fun and chill out. And the best part for the brewers was they just set us all up in a circle. So we were all, like, back to back and shoulder to shoulder and just passing glasses around.
That's really
cool. So the brewers had a great time with that setup. The crowd was great. Thank you to Alter Genius and Fermata for hosting us, for not hosting, but sponsoring the event and judging the event. And the winning beer gets to go to Alter Genius to get brewed. So, like, killer.
Yeah, absolutely. And while you were in that nice little circle of brewers, did you get to try anything that really stood out to you?
Yeah, there was a strawberry pretzel salad made by Nick Smith at BrewBQ.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good. It was on point.
Nice.
The best in show of the day was actually right next to us. Our friend Jonathan from Trash, he had a Goza that took best in show.
Nice.
So that'll be at Alter Genius in the next couple months, maybe. And then Friends of the Podcast, fifth season, took home second in best of show and got the crowd vote for their barrel-aged stout.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
looking at you, Mike Katrina. You know I like a good stout.
And then your boy took historic on a beer he had no confidence in. But it did turn out really well.
And that's what I'm saying, man. Every time you're like, I'm not sure.
It's a first-time beer. You never know what's going to happen.
Which makes it historic for so many reasons.
Aw, you sweetie.
Also, speaking of sweeties, your sweetie got to do something pretty cool. Lori met the one, the only, Mr.
Woo!
Himself, Ric Flair. So as a little treat, she was able to send us a picture of her with Ric Flair, the dirtiest player in the game. With the man, with stickers from the podcast.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, man.
It was very cool. And a surprise. I knew she knew he was in town because she was like telling me about it. I was like, I got to go in the office. I'm not going to make it to any of those. He was at three local Giant Eagles.
Yeah, Giant Eagles.
Promoting his new crazy energy drink. I think it's probably his fifth one.
Also called Woo.
And so she went and bought six of them for us that maybe we'll review on a future podcast.
Sounds good. Yeah.
But yeah, I think we got a new friend of the podcast.
We
16-time world champion.
Confirmed.
She met him for 10 seconds, so I think we're all friends now.
That's 5 seconds more than we needed.
Right. More batches of thick flair coming to the Juju tournament.
Absolutely.
But yeah, very cool. Wish I could have been there, but I'm glad she just went and did it. She just happened to be in Monroeville for a meeting, and he was in Monroeville as the meeting was letting out, so she took some of our stickers with her and posed for a picture with the Nature Boy.
So all you people got new stickers and you're following us now, you should know that we are a combat sports news podcast. So from Buckle to Bell to Bellator and back, the boys bring you the best combat sports news in the biz. Congrats go out to Sean Strickland for upsetting Israel Adesanya. This was a match that everyone was kind of focusing on the UFC because Adesanya was the man, the myth, the legend at that weight. And he was holding down the middleweight title for so long. Even when he lost it, he was still the man to beat. To solidify yourself in the middleweight. And Strickland was able to win in a convincing, unanimous decision over Adesanya, now claiming that belt and pulling off what may go down as one of the biggest upsets in MMA history.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the level of when Anderson Silva lost to that guy that beat him, and then he didn't do so well after that. Yeah, can't even remember his name right now. I am so sorry. This is not my first beer of the night.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember. Mr. America, whatever his name was. But yeah, I mean, not a super exciting fight. There was a first round knockdown. It looked almost like the Sugar fight for a second there. But Adesanya actually got back up, revived himself, won the next round. He won round two. But then Strickland won every other round. So he won four of the rounds on every judge's scorecard. It was very unanimous. He was just controlling that octagon. So he took it. And yeah, big upset.
Absolutely.
But Strickland is a madman.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing a write-up on him, and they were talking about how his upbringing was real shit, and then he slowly became a much better person. He still got some weird shit click-clacking around in his head there.
Yeah, he sure does. There's reports that the fight almost got canceled because he punched a fan the night before.
Well, that's what the fan gets.
But good dude. It wasn't an old man that wouldn't drink his whiskey, Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Oi, you want to fight, Ed? Yeah, give me
Let
a belt.
Me sucker punch you from behind.
Give me a belt. Speaking of sucker punches, you got to prepare your hole, because Nia Jax has returned to the Big E.
Ow, my hole!
This woman has broken ground as being the fourth woman to ever enter the Royal Rumble. But she's also known for being...
Well, the men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah. But she's also known for being quite dangerous in the ring. And all the memes are coming out, of course, like it's SpongeBob cowering in a corner, like, whenever Nia Jax comes back, this is the women's locker room. And, of course, are the ones like the AEW locker room cowering when they know that Nia Jax will get terminated.
Then they have to put Nyla Rose and her in a tag team and just everybody's getting shit broke.
So to run down some of the notable injuries that Nia Jax has dished out, we have when she, number one, when she broke Becky Lynch's nose.
Yeah, that made for a great poster, though.
It was amazing. Kairi Sane got a concussion after being thrown headfirst into the steps after already being wobbled by a botch.
Yeah, botched powerbomb,
yeah.
If I remember correctly.
All the stiff shots she had with Charlotte Flair and that televised event on Raw where they just traded open hands.
That was great. You know what? That's a Nia Jax highlight in my book.
It was. I tell you what, Charlotte Flair was giving it back too.
They were just doing open palm strikes on each other.
It was New Japan Wrestling.
Strong. A little
style.
Bit of hair pulling.
Your girl Zelina Vega, she got injured after, and she kept it very quiet after she got thrown out of the Battle Royal during the All Women's Evolution pay per view.
That's right. Kayfabe's real for Zelina. That's
it
I
is.
Like her so
she
much.
Kept that shit real. Ember Moon, she got botched into the IR, and her husband took to Twitter to call Nia Jax an unsafe moron, which he had to later take down because I think he got threatened with legal action.
Yeah, probably. That's the opposite of what Zelina Vega did.
Yeah, Zelina Vega's like, it hurts. I'll be fine. Fuck off. Ember Moon's like, no.
Hubby, go get her.
R-Truth thought he was just the entrant 30 in the Royal Rumble. But like I said earlier, he became wall art after Jax came out and hit him so hard he went face first into his structure. And the Road Dog Jesse James had to come out and hold R-Truth back from beating the shit out of Nia Jax.
I didn't know this.
Back in Gorilla, he was losing his mind. Yeah.
He's a pretty cool, calm, and collected dude from the outside appearance anyway.
Well, it's like you're seeing him on his podcast too. He actually has this is my take. It has logic. I can tell you why I do and don't like these things.
Yeah, that's logical.
Yeah, it's nice. And then last but not least here, Bayley got her shoulder smashed in 2017 when Jax haphazardly threw her out of the ring to then throw her back in the ring, and she performed what can only be described as half-assed suplexes. Bayley's shoulder was so wrecked, she missed her chance to wrestle Alexa Bliss in 2017 for the women's title, which would have been, and reportedly, Bayley's first title reign in the WWE.
Boom.
Aside from NXT, of course.
She's been pretty injury prone since.
Yeah, but all lower body now.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, why do you think Cody Rhodes is losing his momentum? Because he started off hot with a return against Seth freaking Rollins at WrestleMania to the epic match and blow off victory against Brock Lesnar. And he's now squaring off against Dominic Mysterio.
Wait, they already did that.
Mm-hmm.
But they already did that.
Uh huh.
What's going on?
Again. Load it up. Again. So where did this all go wrong? Why is he climbing down the card when he has been known clearly as the top babyface on Raw, and now they're like this limbo, could he go to SmackDown to lock horns with a part-time Roman Reigns? And are they trying to preserve him now before that inevitable Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania that literally no one is now asking for.
He shook hands with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a better heel for him to go up against.
I think if you would have, I mean, if you're pitching this whole Judgment Day thing, why is he not going in with Finn Balor?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or even
Damian Priest.
I almost said Truth Martinez, which is like,
ooh, that's
not his name. That wasn't his name ever. That was the other guy. That was his manager. Yeah, Damian Priest. Why is he not going in with Damian Priest? That would make more sense. Or either of those guys.
Yeah.
Because he had already wrecked Dom. Like, why are we doing this again?
Yeah, and here's the thing about Dominic.
Maybe they'll swerve it. Maybe they'll just, like,
I hope.
Fork him off Dom onto one of the legit guys.
That would make a lot of
sense.
Even
that JD McDonough
dude,
Little Finn, would be better.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think too, they're trying. Well, it's the Cody Rhodes rub, too. I think if he were to have a good program with Dominic Mysterio, they could actually kind of boost his approval up.
I got an easy one. If he goes to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Solo.
Oh, it's Solo Sikoa.
You put him in a program with that, leading the reins.
That would be good.
That's easy booking.
Yeah. It plays itself. And then you have Jimmy Uso over there, too, that can help out.
Right.
And then
just run through the Bloodline. I can't think of any other heels on SmackDown. I don't watch it a lot.
And SmackDown's not really one of the ones. I
watched the Bloodline segments, and that's about it.
So, Adam, maybe we can see some crossovers here because the merger of UFC and WWE finally went down a couple days ago. So Endeavor performed the full acquisition to form TKO now.
TKO, baby. Opening way too rich for daddy's blood.
Absolutely.
Oh, closed the first day at like $104.
Whoop. They're doing a good job, man. Went public and skyrocketed.
Like my cholesterol.
So the thing here, too, that I read is that Vince McMahon, his position in the executive management of TKO can actually have him controlling UFC fighters.
That's nuts. Because, like, from what I saw from the photos, he's controlling old Acme cartoons as the villain tying women to train tracks.
What I like is he had the throwback. He put the do-rag back on.
Dude, yeah, what was up with that? I think it was windy and he needed to keep the
waves.
Hairpiece.
No. He's making it wavy.
Definitely, that's not his own hair anymore. He's got a really good piece on there.
How's he going to drown him if he doesn't get it wavy, dude?
Yeah, that was nuts. A bright purple do-rag.
Yeah, it's
and a fucking Italian villain mustache. What the fuck?
And you could see Triple H like, get away from me. Get away from me. Dude, with last time you had that on, you said a bad word. Get away from me.
Looked a little less like McMahon and more like a little McMahon a Margarino. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mickey the pasta.
Dude, that mustache. But like gangster. Like,
yeah.
What a nutcase.
I don't know what he's going to do, but if he can control some UFC talent, maybe he can have some of them kind of drop onto the roster and cause a little havoc.
I could definitely see like Conor McGregor coming over.
Yeah.
Notorious. I don't know who else though. Well, Cormier for like maybe at an announce table.
Well, he was also like trying to come over at one point too anyway. Him and Brock Lesnar were supposed to have like something at one point, and this could actually bring that. But Brock Lesnar, who knows what the fuck he's doing now?
Dude, who's like the fan favorite right now? Chad Gable, probably?
Yeah, I'd say.
Pretty much, like for the undercard guys?
Yeah.
You have Joe Rogan come in and spin kick Chad Gable out of the Royal Rumble this year. Just piss everybody off.
UFC commented by day, spin kicks in the Royal Rumble by night. Joe Rogan.
Rogan would never get in that ring.
No, God.
When his head only comes up to the second rope, he'd be exposed.
Well, it's like create a player, but you give him all Rey Mysterio's moves?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, why does he have that? Why is he throwing 619?
He's like, he's only bouncing off the second rope, and wow, that Hurricane Rod is really on point. So, speaking of being on point here, this kind of got messed up. Edge was removed from the WWE roster webpage. Mr. Copeland is no longer listed internally at the time of this script. However, they added him back on now, and he's in the miscellaneous talent page. So, it means he's still signed, but they don't have anything for him. So this kind of throws a wrench into him going to AEW because we're not sure about the WWE status of Edge right now.
Right. And they teased it on AEW this week, and it pissed me off.
Yeah, Ms. Monet actually did it, too.
And we covered it. We said, I think we said that's going over. We think he might go. Well, at least we want him to go.
Well, why wouldn't he at this point? Right. I mean, he gets to have the most fun. Right. His best friend, Christian's over there just making fun of dead dads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan's a dumb mark, so he'll pay him whatever amount of money ever. Not friend of the podcast.
I think I can see, like, Copeland going into it. And be like, Adam Copeland's like, all right, Tony, I just want, like, and then he leans over to his attorney. He comes over. He goes, he's like, no fucking way. I shouldn't offer him that. $4.5 million for a year. And Tony Khan's like, yep.
Do you think WWE owns the trademark on Edge?
Oh, for sure.
Is he going to have to go over there as, like, Blade?
but he gets to be the Brood, but it's not the Brood. It's, like, the Pack.
Serrated knife.
You think you're aware of me. We just want to see Edge wrestle. We want to see him have fun. Whatever he wants to be.
And he's still jacked.
Yeah, he's
he can still go.
He looks so good.
I never want to see him in a match with Randy Orton again. That was snooze fest.
It really was.
God, three times, I think. Ugh.
Two times too many.
I mean, three times since he came back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Two times too many for sure.
So, one of the fan favorites over here in the Judgetorium, Sunny Kisses, her contract was not renewed. She identifies as gender fluid. She uses she, her pronouns, and she wrestled in the All Elite Wrestling men's division for 4 years, teaming up with Joey Janela for one of the coolest tag team runs on Dark Evolution, Elevation. And then on Dynamite during the pandemic era,
right, yep.
Leading up to them falling out and having some epic matches.
Yeah, I think she's been there the whole time. Even like the first All In.
Yeah.
I think she was on before it was officially AEW. Mm-hmm. So
she had a match on that card and just took off from there and just became a crowd favorite, a favorite of ours. Right now, there is no contracts and she's – what's the fun fact you put in here for me? What is this?
She announced in, I think it was June or July of this year, she's dating Fred Rosser, who was Darren Young in WWE, which is a fun fact because he was WWE's first openly gay wrestler that then got his contract also not renewed.
Coincidence.
So, like, what's going on? I mean, good for them, those two. Yeah. He's cool. I just don't know what's happening with AEW. Yeah. It seems like all of that progressive signing is kind of like slowly whittling away. You're not being so inclusive anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying just because if she's dangerous in the ring, just because she's gender fluid isn't a reason to keep her around. But
yeah,
she's not. She's good in the ring.
Very good.
I thought she improved over the years.
Absolutely.
And she's still not renewed. And she hasn't been on TV in,
yeah,
I would say safely a year, not on Dynamite.
And not on ROH either.
Yeah, so
you have a whole other card where she could flourish, and you don't have her on ROH. And here's the thing, too. You have the perfect person for Sunny Kiss to team up with in ROH, Dalton Castle. Why do you not have her with Dalton Castle?
That'd be pretty bomb.
That'd be sick.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, the fun fact came from her Wikipedia page because I wanted to get the all the verbiage right, so I just looked it up, and I wanted to just confirm that she was there since the beginning. I thought she was.
Yeah, she definitely was. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I just
did not know she was dating Darren Young.
Very strange. Yeah, super recent.
But well, thank you.
Yep, there you go.
Fun fact.
So everybody's doing at least those two lovebirds are doing well.
Leave those kids alone. So speaking of leaving things alone, there is a rumor brewing up that Jade Cargill is going to the Big E. Ex-AEW TBS Women's Champion Jade Cargill has said to have performed her final match on the AEW contract, putting over Chris Statlander on this past Rampage. So on Friday, you've already seen it by the time you listen to this. Usually when a star is exiting a promotion, they put over the next person who's going to take their spot. Statlander was already over, so I'm not quite sure why Jade had to go out there and do that.
I think it was just to confirm, like, being the first TBS Women's Champion, I think it was just to confirm Statlander. Put her over from what we saw strong. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just a clean win for Statlander. No shenanigans. Cargill looks to be WWE bound, and she definitely has the look.
Yeah, she has a look, and it'd be kind of cool once she gets some of those other pieces of her skill set refined. And you can see her like Bianca Belair, Asuka, a returning Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax.
Let's pull the trigger on this newly established Hurt Business. Lashley, Street Profits, and Jade Cargill. Boom.
Sign it.
Yeah. And maybe get Bianca in there too. Get a women's tag team out of it.
That would be really cool. That'd and bring sweet. Those titles back because they're not doing shit with them.
Nah. See? We can. Triple H. You got my resume.
It's. My phone number is. Yeah, sign me up, bro. So, Adam, we are going into one of my favorite segments that we've introduced to the show. Right before we go to a break for ads, we do going over or jobbing. I'm going to toss you 4 fun facts that we're going to go over here, and you're going to let me know, Adam, and I'm going to argue with you if it's so applicable, if this is going over or jobbing. Number 1, LA Knight is going to get a new lucrative contract and a big push to the title scene.
I think that's going over. I definitely think he's the hottest thing in WWE that doesn't have a title. Maybe he'll get kicked out of the ring by Joe Rogan. If we want to send everybody home angry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think he's the best thing on their television right now. He's the hottest prospect. Maybe not personally for me, but he clearly gets the biggest pop.
Yeah.
Even better than Roman Reigns. So what do you think?
I think it's going over for sure. The only thing I'm going to say that the tweak I'm going to make is the big push of the title scene is going to take a lot longer. I feel like they have some things in the way they want to try to take care of. I mean, you still have to get rid of that money in the bank briefcase off of Damian Priest. So once you sort all that out, you get the fallout from Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and all the Judgment Day stuff with McDonough. Then I think you're making room for LA Knight to make that push for the title.
Yeah, that's true. And it's speculated that the new contract's a 5-year, so they would have the time.
But he's 41, so you don't want to wait too long. Not saying that he's not in incredible shape.
Yeah, but you don't want him to get nicked up and never get the title.
That's
either,
true.
You know what I mean?
How about Bryan Danielson? Can he take over for CM Punk as a lead figure of AEW Collision?
They're trying. He's on it heavy this week. He was heavy on it last week. Who knows? I don't know. I don't like the separate. Like, I never liked Collision as an idea anyway. So who knows? I'm not watching wrestling on Saturday nights. I don't watch SmackDown or Rampage because it's Friday nights.
Yeah.
Like those 2 nights of the week, just I don't have to be home. I'm not here.
Right.
Like,
I DVR it and I watch some of the highlights. But if you need to bring people back and you feel like CM Punk was that piece you needed, then I think this is going over because Danielson can perform with mid-carders and for titles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. So I didn't really answer the question. I skirted it. I do think he can pull it off.
Yeah.
I just don't think he needs to. This is kind of where I was getting at.
And just
but he can, yeah, he can totally pull it off.
And the same thing, too, when we were saying about LA Knight, Danielson's not a spring chicken either.
No, he actually announced this week as well that he's getting into a part-time role.
Yeah, so, and he should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of part-timers here, Adam, your homegirl, Thunder Rosa, do you think she's going to wrestle in 2023?
Nope. I don't know where the hell she's been. I thought Collision was like going to be her show too because she didn't get along with all the women, but she hasn't been on there. I mean, I think she came out and joined the commentary for one thing, and that was about it.
She did the Spanish commentary on the one fight.
She's doing the, I don't know if it's OnlyFans, but she's doing some of those pay-to-play sites. And
like a paywall thing?
Yeah, I don't think she's coming back.
I think it's jobbing for 2023. I think she comes back in 2024.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Jobbing 2023. Yeah. We'll see her probably whatever the first big pay-per-view for AEW is, 2024.
Yeah.
Set her up in a program for that, or she just returns and starts a program then.
Yeah, like
there's nothing. I mean, where do you even work her in right now? Like,
the only person that you could really do is the official sacrificial lamb that I've seen so far, and Tyra Valkyrie. You just hand her over to people who come back, and she gets tossed around.
No, I think you get Statlander through a couple programs and then bring her back as like the first legit challenger.
Yeah.
I don't know if she beats Statlander or not. I don't know what the right call is there, but
you know who beats Statlander?
Nobody.
Hikaru Shida.
Nobody.
Bring Hikaru Shida back. It's real to me, damn it.
Nah, she can go after the real women's title. Or not the real women's title. The main women's title.
Yeah.
TBS is owned by Statlander.
How about number 4 here? Last but not least, Chad Gable wins a singles title in WWE.
Yeah, so it looks like they're pushing him towards Gunther? No, that was his old name.
No, it's Gunther.
No, that's his current name.
Gunther!
It was Walter.
Is Walter, yes.
And now it's Gunther.
Gunther.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say going over. Because Gunther's now broken the record for the IC title hold, and I think you need to push him up. Seth Rollins needs a challenger. That's a perfect challenger.
I think it is,
and
too.
A legit challenger. Like, I wouldn't even be mad if he wins the heavyweight.
Yeah.
He's such a good heel.
What's kind of cool about it is he's doing kind of the Razor Ramon push.
Yeah.
But Razor Ramon never finished. He never finished the story. But it was the same thing. Held the IC title, did a great job with
Budweiser
it.
Budweiser got in the way.
Budweiser did get in the way. And then so did WCW. They also got in the way.
Well, that was okay. That was more money.
It was. But I think Chad Gable gets to be the IC champion because I think there are bigger plans for Gunther. I just think that they're going to let Gunther have that title for just a little bit longer before he drops it to Gable.
We will see.
Yeah.
We will see. I think he's propelled up. And they do a good look back into WWE's past. They do a good foreign heel gimmick with him. It's not cheesy. There's no stereotypes. It's clean, man. It's just a badass foreigner coming in and kicking asses.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen that. You don't see a lot of that.
No, so. No. The only time I ever really saw something like that is when we still had like Yokozuna, because he was like one of the best Japanese wrestlers of all time.
A legit sumo coming over and crossing over into pro wrestling.
Just he came over with a legit Japanese manager and said, "I'm bringing this back to the land of the rising sun."
I'm just playing. You know he was Samoan, right?
No, he's not.
I'm pretty sure he's Samoan.
He's Japanese.
I think he's related loosely to Roman Reigns.
No.
I think.
You think?
I don't know. You're going to have to look that up. I'm pretty sure.
Uh-oh.
Pretty sure. I was a big fan, so I think so. But, and again, that was a very stereotypical gimmick. He would
very
come
much
out
so.
And they would literally do promos of him just eating buckets of rice and stuff.
Which was
like,
so
was
ridiculous.
The only other person I can think that they did it pretty well with, well, they're doing it well with right now, is Nakamura.
Yeah.
But they're not really playing into him being from Japan.
Well,
like,
they do give him the title of like, the King of Strong Style.
Oh, that payback build.
Really
that
good.
That payback intro video before the match was so good with like the anime effects and shit. Oh, it was good.
Did a great job
so
on that.
So fucking
one.
Good. And I guess they're running that back, it looks like.
Yeah, which would be fun.
Do it again because that was a great match.
Can I just tell you real quick, my actual favorite Asian wrestler of all time is Tajiri. Like, legit Asian.
He was also Samoan.
Shut up!
He's legit Japanese.
Yeah, the Japanese buzzsaw.
That might be my favorite, except for now Nakamura's pretty close.
Nakamura's up there.
Pretty freaking close.
So, Adam.
Not Takeshita?
Not Takeshita. No. Shida.
The Alpha.
Shida.
Oh, yeah, you like
I do
Shida.
Love Shida. So, we are going to go into a break for some ads from our friends, and if you support our friends, you support us, and if you support us, we do some pretty cool stuff, so we'll see you on the other side.
If you love talking blockbuster movies, comic books, animation, and TV shows, check out Talking Smack, hosted by me, Josh Scar, along with my rotating cast of co-hosts. We will talk superheroes, movies, animation, and comics with you every Wednesday on your favorite podcatcher.
Welcome back. Hopefully you heard something you like, because again, when you support our friends, you support us. When you support us, we bring you things that you like going into round two beers. Adam, we are just continuing to just sniff the fall season, and that means we're going to start putting coffee in everything. So, Adam, we're going to take all that together. It is round two. We have more beers. What do we call it? Round two beers. What are we drinking?
So, like we talked about, we were up at the old Crushing Brew this past week, and one of the lovely breweries there helping people out and judging some beers was Fermata. So we went to their after party. We went to Alter Genius and their after party. But Fermata sent us home with some cans. And one of them is Cold Brew Collusion, an American wheat ale with coffee. So this coffee actually comes from a coffee shop there in Ambridge as well, Merchant Coffee. And this is a, like I said, an American wheat beer with coffee. And it's a Pilsner and wheat malts. With some chocolate notes, and they put Azekka and Huel Melon hops in this thing, and then the coffee they paired with it is supposed to give you some sweet berry and citrus notes. So, here we go. And I've had a couple dark beers with coffee and lighter beers with coffee from Fermata and have never been disappointed, so let's check it out.
Give me a little sound effect. Hit
you,
my music.
You already took a sippy of yours, right?
Oh, yeah. And I am so ready to talk about this thing.
Go for it.
Talk about a cool color. This thing is nice and clear. It pours nicely, and you can really get the nose on this thing. It's not super pungent, but it gets you ready for just a nice sip that has several different flavors that play throughout. So the fruitiness that comes from the coffee is definitely coming out towards the end, but you get that nice little spike of soft funk at the very beginning that I just you licking that mustache.
It's all up in my mustache, and I love it.
It's like a milk mustache. It so it just it plays very nicely. It's a lot softer than I thought it was going to be, which is not a bad thing. And it's not a high ABV. It's like a 5.3, something like that. So it's really, yeah, 5.3. It's just nice, light, has a cool little flavor profile, a little bit of fruitiness on it. I like this.
Yeah. And coming from the brewer side of this, to put Huel Melon and Azekka in with a coffee is a huge risk. Like, that's not a safe hop to pair with a coffee, a roasted coffee note. But it works because the coffee does give off these fruit flavors, and the hops just accentuate that. And you're still getting full-on coffee flavor without any harshness.
Yeah.
It's not acrid at all. It's very, very smooth and very light. It is transparent. It's, like, unreal.
I didn't expect it.
It's clear for just a wheat beer, let alone a wheat beer with coffee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well done. And it's not no shock to me because Fermat is in that club for me of breweries that hit Pittsburgh and opened with good beer. Like, they hit the ground running. And that's a small club. It's happened a few times in the last couple of years, and this is one of those breweries. So if you're ever up in the Ambridge area, just a few skips down from Swickley, you know?
Yeah.
And if you want to know what's going on over there, too, like,
if you want to know what's going over there, too, it's Fermata, Fermata. This is amazing. I have not had a beer from Fermata I didn't like. And just adding this bad boy to the list.
No, they do a smoked lager called Yacht Rosh. That's maybe one of my favorite beers of the summer. It's just a smoked, crispy lager. It's sick.
Oh, dude, say less.
Yeah, well, I will say more, actually, because they sent me home with a couple cans. So you'll be seeing them over the next few episodes here and there. I'm not going to tell you what they sent me home with, but just keep listening.
As Bob Ross says, what a happy mistake.
We might have started off with the best. I don't know, though. We'll have to see. This is really good.
We will find out as we go over some episodes. But we also find out, Adam, as we continue to sip this delicious beer from Fermata Brewing Company, we had an X Division throwdown. We put it out there to our followers on X. And you can follow us, too, at KNWTB to make sure you can get onto the next one of these to see which couple's costume you think is better. I didn't put worse. I put better because I want to see what people react to when they see positivity.
You're positive, yeah.
I am.
You're the opposite of me.
Very much so. That's why it's yin, yang. Yin.
Yins.
Like,
I'm yins.
Like all the
Samoans. You're yang, I'm yins.
Like all the Samoans would want. So, Adam, I put Barbie and Ken up against the Joker and Harley Quinn. And Barbie and Ken edged out Harley Quinn and the Joker 55% to 45%.
For the better costume.
For the
I agree with that.
And I do, too. And we did get some comments here from some friends of the podcast. So first and foremost here, the Talking Smack podcast, which you can find on all podcast platforms every Wednesday, they put up a picture of some of their co-hosts dressed as Joker and Harley, and it's exactly what you think it is. Too much white face paint and, like, the hand-drawn lips.
Yeah.
It was good.
But did they vote for Barbie and Ken and then sent that picture
in?
Oh, man. Threw their friends right under the bus.
Reckless.
We could be good friends with them. I mean, we are.
But oh, absolutely.
I haven't met them yet. I got to talk to them.
And there's another Get group heinous. Over here. The boys over in Derazzled, who are also 412 Proud, they are saying that Joker and Harley had their time. Unleash the Kennergy.
Nice.
Dustin the Podcaster says, and this is a nice one, Joker and Harley because Barbie and Ken are going to be everywhere. Bonus, if you combine the two, a Harley Barbie and a Joker Ken might be interesting, plus double the Margot Robbie.
I do like the way they think.
Yeah.
I started giggling halfway through that, though, because you abbreviated B and K.
Yeah.
And my fat ass immediately thought Burger King.
B and K, have it your way.
It wasn't even that way. It was, welcome to the BK Lounge, motherfucker.
And then last but not least,
fuck 'em fat.
Our friends over at Sugar Coated Murder said, Barbie and Ken can suck eggs.
Oh, nice callback to Terry Funk. That's my favorite. Sugar Coated, you win.
Ring it up, baby.
Dustin the Podcaster, you were so close.
Yeah. Oh, Definitely a second place on that one. Yeah.
But oh man, to say suck eggs.
Perfect.
This time of year.
Forever. Forever. So Adam, speaking of forever, we forever put down these ideas for combat on our podcast. But in the second half of our show, we like to have a little bit of a back and forth, a little showdown, if you would say. So spooky season's in full effect, and you know that. And we recently celebrated one of the best horror crossovers of all time, the 20th anniversary of Freddy vs. Jason, one of the best soundtracks of a modern horror movie.
It's true.
So good. So that gave me the idea to see what other mashup ideas are out there. So after a little bit of Googling on the Googs, I went to comicbook.com and I found what their writers found to be the 10 most wanted mashups. So Adam, let's pit these Titans of Terror against one another to see who will reign supreme.
Let's do it.
So coming at number one here, we have Cabin in the Woods versus Night of the Demons. Cabin in the Woods, of course, is that titular fourth wall breaking horror movie where the cabin is on top of a ritual temple that tries to keep the ancient gods of Earth at bay. And Night of the Demons is just a great schlocky B horror movie where a chick puts lipstick in her boobies.
Yep. Lots of nudity in that one.
So which one would you take in this battle?
So we're just pitting like the
House itself with all the shit in
the
it.
The villains against the villains.
Yeah.
The house with all the shit in it, or the house with a cut that's a little bit possessed. Well, it was a lot possessed.
Yeah.
It's the one with all the shit in it.
Yeah.
It's on the godly burial ground. There was a merman.
Yeah, very, dude. Very messy.
Remember that?
I remember.
Yeah, I gotta go with Cabin in the Woods on this one.
I would like to believe that Cabin in the Woods would take it, but I want to say Night of the Demons because if one of them can bite and infect one of the beasts from the cabin, I want to see if it can turn that.
Hit a big one.
Yeah, dude.
Like Godzilla or something.
Hell yeah, dude! Or the merman.
Or the merman. He was slow though.
Slow but effective.
He needed some legs.
He's like, oh god, damn it. So number two here, we have two movies I absolutely love. We have Get Out versus Scream. Who you taking?
I'm taking Scream. I don't care what killer it is. That Get Out family was bullshit.
I don't think that they would have time to hypnotize Ghostface.
Ghostface doesn't drink tea.
No, he does not.
Yeah, you're not getting him.
Ghostface drinks blood.
Yeah.
Blood.
Well,
in the movie, whenever the killer's just drinking beers or whatnot, but definitely no tea. No tea.
Except for when it was Roseanne's friend, that one, Scream 2.
Jackie, yeah.
Jackie wasn't drinking no blood. She was drinking Yellowtail.
So I can't believe these fucking bitches.
But in all fairness, the whole Get Out family's drinking Yellowtail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, boom.
And they get murked up. Number three here, we have Child's Play, which of course is Chucky versus Orphan. That's a fun little mashup right there.
See, I'm gonna go with Chucky from Child's Play winning this because I guess in the first one he does kind of play the long game, but Orphan's really playing the long game. Chucky's gonna kind of cut to the chase a little bit faster, so I gotta go with him.
I think I have to go with him too because Orphan has to play a child's role, and if she starts to fight the doll, she blows
her whole cover.
There you go, man. You got to be covert, not overt.
Right. And I will say, for number going back to number two real quick, Get Out, the far superior movie, just to piss you off.
Oh,
way better than anything in Scream.
I don't like any part of what you just said. Why'd you have to do this to me?
I don't know. We were agreeing too much, so I had to go through some fucking...
This goes back to your fucking beige flag. You're such a fucking contrarian. You had to go back and just take... oh, my God. Oh, thanks.
Anybody knows how Scream sucks?
Number four, it's It with Pennywise taking on friend of the podcast, Terrifier, and Art the Clown. I know who you're going to pick.
No fucking contest.
You're picking Pennywise.
Yeah, fuck that,
you mark.
Art the Clown, round one, 50-second knockout kill.
I think what would happen here is that, because you have to be scared of Pennywise to have him have effect on you, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Art is scared of anything.
I will say this is the best matchup of all of them. I mean, you think it's just basically like, oh, they just picked two clowns. But they're both mystical, magical, ethereal clowns. Like,
yeah.
Neither of them are human at this point.
Correct.
From what we know, Pennywise isn't. We pretty much think Art isn't at this point.
We're
right?
Finding that out.
You know?
Slowly but surely. Terrifier 3 is set to hit theaters in 2024.
Yeah. Chris Jericho helped birth his head.
Love it.
He was the wet nurse.
As he should have been. Nothing screams Jericho more to me than being a wet nurse. So, Adam, how about this one right here? This is where we might differ a little bit. We're going to go with Ghostbusters versus the Evil Dead. So the Deadites from Evil Dead versus the four ghost-busting anti-villains in Ghostbusters. So who you taking?
I'm going against the grain here.
Yeah?
I'm going with the heroes.
Really?
I think they can bust them ghosts.
I don't think so.
Who are you going to call?
Not Ghostbusters.
Sure.
Dude, Evil Dead required the eloquence and the skill, timing, and intelligence of Ash. So, and I don't know if Egon has the ability.
Don't you start talking shit on Egon. Egon has the ability.
Nah.
The Deadites never went up against ectoplasm.
Yeah, they don't have to because they're not.
You throw one of them traps out, yeah. You do the stomp box.
Yeah.
I still got one.
Do you still have the stomp box?
I used to have one of those. I forget what they call them, the traps.
Yeah, the stomp box.
Don't cross the beams. And then you stomp box them.
Yeah, well, then if you want to beat Zool, you have to cross the streams. You have to do
super
it.
Superpower.
Yeah, it's.
Did you have those? I forget what those were called.
The trap?
No, the actual backpacks.
Oh, oh shit! What were those called?
I don't know, but me and my brother had them as kids. And
proton packs.
And they were so lame because like it was just what now is referred to as a pool noodle out the end, and it just spun around.
Yeah, it's so good.
We're just like. Touching tips.
I'm going to bust you, you ghost.
Shooting it at the neighborhood dog, you know?
The dog just, like, biting the water coming out the end of it.
Yeah,
like,
just looking at it, nibbling our streams, you know? Like,
it's like, what? It's like, you guys are jerks.
No, but I think Ghostbusters have a good chance there.
Nah.
It's not cut and clear like Pennywise versus Terrifier.
That's true.
Versus Art, but I think Ghostbusters have a fighting chance. I'm going to go with the underdog.
Yeah, I'm going Evil Dead because I'm going to be the right one here. Number six, we're going to look at Annabelle taking on the entity from Paranormal Activity. So Annabelle, of course, as we know, is possessed by a very powerful demon that can manifest itself at certain times, take over other objects, and manipulate time and space. The entity from Paranormal Activity can hide in plain sight, possess people, and manipulates, I believe, reality in itself. Who are you taking?
I mean, no filter here. Both these movies suck.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you should put Annabelle up against Chucky, comicbook.com. But anyway, Paranormal Activity. It's just more, I feel like there's probably more power there. It's had seven movies.
It has, and they have a cult. It's a cult behind it, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
The
there's just so much help there. Yeah. Annabelle, the most garbage movie I ever watched 20 minutes of and then shut off. and I watched some really bad B movies. And
it's
that
like,
was...
It's like Kane versus DX.
Terrible.
That's exactly what it is.
You know who directed that, right?
Who?
The same guy that did Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh,
that's why that movie's such
terrible.
Horseshit. Yeah, fuck Annabelle.
Wait, we're saying Annabelle, so not Annihilation, because Annihilation's a gold standard movie.
Mortal Kombat? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's better than Annabelle. I wouldn't call it even... mud standard. It's like shit standard.
Oh,
but Annabelle's
so good.
Dregs.
Yeah.
Dregs. Paranormal Activity. At least the first one was a little bit.
It was good.
I don't even want to call it groundbreaking because it pretty much ripped Blair Witch. But
it was. I thought it was good.
It was good. Yeah. It was new. It was different
at
the time.
It was refreshing.
Then they just beat the shit out of it.
Yeah. How do you do that? Yeah. Seven movies.
It's going for you too, Saw movie series. Jesus.
After three. Cripes. Shut it down.
Shut it
down. So how about The Grudge taking on Insidious? Insidious is kind of different here. That little like thing right there used to freak me out so bad. That noise of the broken larynx.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hated that. But The Grudge versus Insidious, this is where you're kind of weirded out a little bit because The Grudge is a singular entity. Unless you're going on the Japanese side of it, where once you're possessed, you become another grudge and you proliferate. So I actually want to go with the foreign grudge. That way, they give them numbers to go against Insidious because you're going against the entire nether realm that when you fall into when you go to sleep.
That's fair.
Yeah. So saying all that, who are you going to take?
At this point, I'm just going with the movie I like better, the series I like better.
Yeah.
I'm going with The Grudge.
Really?
Especially Japanese Grudge.
You're really good. Yeah.
Simone. Japanese Grudge.
Yeah. Japanese and Simone people are the same thing, right?
To some people we know.
Yeah. I don't know where...
Japanese.
Okay.
Boom.
Yeah.
Where Tajiri's from, not from where Yogazoon is.
Okay. That's how.
According to me, you think Yogazoon is also from Japan, but.
But he is. He came down with the flag.
Yeah.
Why would he lie to us?
And the British Bulldog wasn't from Canada.
He's not. He's the British Bulldog.
Is Roddy Piper from Scotland?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you fucking Mark.
Yeah. And Marty Jannetty's from Florida.
Well, yeah, you got one right.
Yeah, see, I'm right. I'm definitely going to go with The Grudge on this, too, if it's the Japanese version, because it is just so good.
And Insidious is just kind of like...
The first one was good.
Yeah, it just weakened itself up, though. I heard I haven't even seen the new one, The Red Door, but I've heard...
Yeah, I've heard bad things.
I've heard rough shit.
How about Halloween, your favorite franchise, going against Trick or Treat, the 2007 vehicle with Sam? So you're talking about Michael Myers taking on Sam.
Sam and the creepy dude that carves pumpkins with his creepy kid.
Yeah, help me with the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the zombie kids from the bus wreck.
Which is cool.
I think Mike Myers is fucking them all up. And I'd like to see it, to be honest. Just a fucking kill fest, right?
Like a squash match.
Yeah, Mike Myers just But I'm going to take... I keep putting all these freaking...
You know, there's parameters.
Parameters on it. I want young Mike Myers to just fuck them up. Oh, I don't want that old fucking homeless guy from the last one.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah.
Halloween, that wasn't Kills. Halloween Ends. I don't want a Halloween Ends.
You want that 1979.
Yeah, I want him fresh.
Yeah.
Right out of college. Number one draft pick.
Legs are still running hard.
Yeah.
He's run that 40 and 4.3 flat.
Looking like prime LaDainian Tomlinson, just fucking people up.
Yeah. Ugh. So how about
the legs of LaDainian Tomlinson, the knife skills of Ray Rice? Like, let's do this.
I dare you to find a better killer.
You know what I mean? Like, knife speed of Ray Rice, but the power of O.J. Simpson. Like, bah! Just, dude, number one draft pick, Mike Myers.
Oh, my God.
Halloween is forever. Have me on for the next NFL draft.
So then how about we move on to... This is a cool one.
I'm not doing any better than that today. I'm sorry.
That's it. All the last bit of power you had went right into that one. So, Adam, this is the one that I was actually really, really happy to see. The Predator plopping right down the middle of The Purge.
Oh, my God. So it's not even competitions for me at this point, more than shit I want to see. I want to see that Predator fuck up all those fucking rich, entitled fucks in The Purge.
It would be so good.
Oh, drop them right in there, just pew, just exploding them. They'll never even figure it out. They'll never even figure out he's invisible.
All their stupid glow masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great job. You just made yourself more visible to the Apex Predator. Oh,
just his three dots on every fucking... Oh, kill him.
It killed Jesse Ventura. You think you're going to survive?
No chance. No chance.
If that's all you got. So last but not least here, in this one, before we move into some awesome bonus ones that I think you drafted up, which are fantastic.
Yeah, you said length in the episode, and I was like, oh, I got some dumb ideas.
We're going to look at Ma versus Meg. Two movies that I wasn't too excited about. Meg was okay, Ma was okay. But when we put those two characters squaring off against each other, who would you take?
Ma. Ma's a powerful lady.
She is.
And Megan sucked as a movie.
Yeah, I didn't really adjust.
Stupid AI robot. Ooh, watch the unrated version. There's one kill.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When I watched the unrated version, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's just, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil it for you right now. It's in the elevator when she jams the...
Well, I don't think there's any on-screen ones. They're all off-screen. Like, you see the aftermath of some of them,
they
right?
show the one in the unrated where she shoves the blade through...
From the paper cutter?
Yeah, the creator. I think it's one of the AI techs. She shoves the blade right through him, through somebody else, splatter fest.
It was... And my biggest criticism of that is, like, such a cool concept. Yeah. Like, great concept for a movie. Just... Dog shit execution.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, Ma can take it.
How about then into your bonus?
I thought she was pretty creepy.
I thought she was too, especially when she flicked the switch. Like she'd be like having fun, and all of a sudden she'd get those eyes locked on, and she's like, "Well, now I'm gonna just absolutely rip you apart."
It's done, honey. You're fucked.
So into the bonuses that you drafted up here. The first one I really like. It's Victor Crowley coming from the Hatchet series, taking on Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. Can I go first?
Yeah, so you know what you see what I did here.
I right? see what you did. I see what you did.
Hodor versus Hodor.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And I'm going to take, I think Hodor's going to win.
I'm a nerd.
I'm going to take Victor Crowley in this one because he can regenerate unless you're doing Jason Goes to Hell.
So yeah, I was going to say Jason needs like lightning to regenerate.
Yeah. So he needs all this shit. You just need to be around the bayou for Victor Crowley, and he can come back. And Victor Crowley doesn't leave the bayou, so that means Jason has to go to the bayou. Jason's scared of water, so he has to fight on land. So therefore, Victor Crowley comes out and annihilates him, chops him to fucking pieces. It'll be an epic showdown, but Victor Crowley, ching, 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 winner.
Yeah, you stole all my good points. I was going to say, Jason's going to a bayou. It's not going to work out well for him.
This is what I do.
So, also going with Victor Crowley.
Absolutely. How about you picked here? Fuck you, dude.
Did you not read this one ahead of time?
I didn't read this one.
Yeah. Throwback to Matt's Halloween is Forever episode.
I bombed. Freddy versus Horace Pinker. Freddy Krueger, of course, is from Nightmare on Elm Street. And Horace Pinker is the wonderful horror character from the movie Shocker from 1989. I'm going to go first here. Horace Pinker, fuck you.
I'm going Freddy Krueger because Wes Craven was good when he wrote that one.
He was good when he wrote both of them.
No, he was... No, he was not. So he was Morty Jannetty good for Shocker.
Whoa. He was on coke. So let me.
Yes, it was Morty Jannetty.
I know. He's also from Florida. So what I'm going to say is that if we're looking at the body of work of Freddy Krueger versus the body of work of Horace Pinker only had to have one movie to be awesome, and Freddy Krueger had one awesome movie then to be shitty until Wes Craven came back and did Freddy's New Nightmare. So
Freddy Krueger.
No.
Next.
Okay, I see.
You're wrong. It's fine.
You're wrong. So how about this one that I love that you put in here because you just want to see me die? It's me versus Ghostface from Scream. Yeah. I'll let you go first. I want to see how I die.
Well, we did have Scream earlier on, but I had to put Matt up against his favorite. And I think you would die against all of them, including Jackie. I think they'd all get you, you know?
It would be like Happy Death Day to you. I'd just keep getting regenerated. It'd be a new...
Oh, my God. If you could go through and get killed by all of them. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'll give you regeneration powers seven times.
Just so I can destroyed.
So you just get fucked up.
What do you think... how fast do you think I die in the first one? When
pretty quick because there's two of them. There's two killers.
Right.
Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. So you're getting double teamed in the first one,
And also, it's Billy Loomis and Scott Mocker, or Stu Mocker, and they're just both smoke shows.
Yeah.
They're so fast.
Yeah, they would lead you in as their, like, human selves.
Yeah.
And just...
They'd be like, hey, what's up with you? I'm like, hey, what's up?
And you'd be like, wait, weren't you Shaggy? And
dead.
But I think you would last longest against, was it Scream? What's the most recent one, 6 or 7?
Seven.
Seven, because that dude was obviously the killer the whole time.
Oh, the whole time. Yeah.
Just a coked out smack bag.
I would just look at him and been like, there's a problem with you.
Yeah. Like, I was like, that's the red herring for sure. And then, nope, the red herring was the killer. And I'm like, man, this movie really.
Oh, yeah. Also, spoiler alerts.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. It's only been out for a year and a half if you haven't seen it yet. It's the guy you think it is.
Yeah. And his kids. So, Adam, of course, because your self-deprecation runs deep, you put yourself in here to get absolutely murder molested by Leatherface.
Uh-huh.
It's Adam versus Leatherface.
I want to see how many different places he can put that chainsaw.
He's going to start off on, he's going to cut some meat, he's going to get some, he's going to put you on a hook.
Can I get a weapon?
Okay, pick one.
I mean, my best chance would be maybe a M16, but...
Well, yeah,
I'm still.
Get a fucking rocket launcher.
In all fairness, I still think I'd lose.
Yeah, because if we've seen anything from the damage he can take and all the iterations of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, even that shitty one with Matthew McConaughey,
I was gonna say I could maybe beat the Next Generation one with a gun.
With a gun,
because he was such a loser.
But he was a psycho though too. He took a lot of he was definitely an S&M guy though.
Took
too.
A ton of abuse. Yeah.
So I'm thinking he could outlast a little
bit. That metal leg kicked him all over the place.
It did. I'd love to see you in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, just being at the...
Dude, I'd be like, can we just truce? I'll just join.
Yeah.
Hey, what do I got to do? Eat a foot? I'm in.
I dig the ideas of your cult, and I want to be in.
I love Texas barbecue.
Yeah, who doesn't? You know what? You guys have some great points of view.
give me them chitlins. What are we doing? Keto diet? All meat? All right.
Sign me up. I want to lose a couple pounds.
Predator diet. Let's do this.
So, Adam... We are moving into your favorite segment of the podcast, questions from the internet. And these ones are fun because they're a little relevant to what we were just talking about, the first one anyway. Adam, what is your favorite, quote, rule in a movie? And if people are wondering what's a rule in a movie, the one that I can always think of is that virgins always survive in horror movies. And if you have sex, you die.
So it's like a trope in a movie.
Yeah, like a movie trope. So what's your favorite one?
So my favorite trope also in a horror movie is don't be a jerk. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you're a jerk, you're also getting killed. And those are my favorite kills in almost every movie is just to see the... And I kind of like the asshole to live for a significant amount of time and just have the most brutal death. And it's really easy in some movies because they make all of the characters fucking assholes. Like, it was the only good thing about the latest Netflix Texas Chainsaw Massacre, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think there was one person in that whole cast that had, like, a redeeming quality.
Yeah.
Everybody else sucked. I'm like, yeah, I want them all to die. Let's do this.
That bus scene when he comes on.
It was the only redeeming part of it.
You're going to get canceled, bro. Yeah.
The fact that they didn't CGI the hell out of every death and that... They just killed assholes was like
it's pretty good
fun to me.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the funniest one for me that I like is there's always the guy next to the final girl and he always has that like save yourself. Of course.
I like when his head gets cut off.
And that's exactly what happens every time. Like everyone's going to kill you. Don't if you're next to if you're the last two left in the haunted house and it's you and a very attractive woman, just get out of the house.
I mean, if you're that girl, it's like I got all this to live for.
Yeah, and what do you got to live for? Yeah, and he's like, I got
me.
I'm living for you.
Yep,
you run.
You sure are.
And then Jason Voorhees is like, well, that was easy. And
she gets married 3 years later.
Yeah, she doesn't even
a couple kids.
She doesn't even
fine.
Come visit your gravesite.
Nah, she don't care. They never found your body. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it gets eaten.
He chopped you into hash, man. Yeah.
Fed you to pigs. So, number two here. Do you like dad jokes? And if so, what is your favorite one, Adam?
I do. I wrote a couple down. Do I have to pick one?
Well, no. I see that you wrote some material. So, apparently, you do love dad jokes.
I have two bar ones off the top of my head.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I do them real quick?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So, Polar Bear walks into a bar.
Okay.
And he says, I'll have a rum.
Yep.
And Coke. Bartender says, what's with the paws? He's like, I was born with them.
That's really good.
Another bar one.
Yeah.
Grasshopper walks into a bar.
Okay.
Bartender says, hey, we have a drink named after you.
Yeah.
You have a drink named Jim?
I do enjoy those.
Now to the written material.
Okay. Oh, God.
What did the sushi say to the bee?
What?
Wasabi. I'll just throw them away like cards. Hey, Matt.
Yes.
My grandma started walking 10 miles a day when she turned 65.
Okay.
She's 92 now. We have no idea where she's at.
I only came with one, and those were so good.
I had a lot of free time last night.
So do you want to hear mine? It's cheesy. It's very cheesy.
Go for it.
Because I do love dad jokes. So here's mine, and I do it all the time. Adam. What's the scariest plant in the forest?
I don't know, Matt. What's the scariest plant?
Bamboo!
Oh, shit.
And then I
bet your kids love that
one. They do. It's like peekaboo. They go,
hit them with that wasabi one. They'll love that.
They have no idea what the hell that is. You think my kids are elevated enough to eat sushi?
Give them a couple of years.
They still call sweet and sour chicken nuggets. Like, they're not eating wasabi.
You know what? They're not wrong.
They're fancy Chinese chicken nuggets.
They are fancy.
So, Adam, last question here. And it cannot be a beer. What is your favorite drink to unwind after your day? And I'll say after a difficult, like a trying day.
So, like, you're going to call me what you're going to call me. But after a work day, sometimes I like a cold brew coffee.
That's not a bad thing. You're
psychopath. To, like, ramp myself back up. Yeah. Thanks. Black. Because, like, usually after a work day, coming down here to do brew stuff. So I got to, like, get back up and going.
Yeah.
But then after the brew day, if I can't have a beer or if beer's not an option, I go to bourbon with just one giant ice cube in it because I like to sip it. I will drink it right away to kind of get that neat feeling. If it's a new bottle, I'll take a whole sip neat.
Yeah.
But then I'll add an ice cube and just enjoy it for like a half hour or whatever, and boom. Good nightcap.
I like that.
Boring and very middle-aged white guy, but that's what I enjoy.
Well, welcome to the club, because I'm about to just join you in the car.
Here comes Matt with his old-fashioned cocktail.
And you're right, because I just thoroughly, because it's like the only drink I can make on my own.
that's pretty sophisticated.
I don't do a bad job.
Yeah. If you were going to put yourself down, just be like, oh, do Jack and Coke.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Those are the cocktails I make.
Little bit of Jack, little bit of Coke. Then a little bit of soda. So I got into making old fashions during the pandemic like everyone else did. Everyone became a barista and a bartender. So I do it the old school way too. I get the orange rinds, everything, and I got the nice bitters and the high end cocktail cherries. What I do too is I get a little bit of extra juice from the cherries and do a little on the top there, a little on the top, let it cascade down. And if I'm grilling that day and I'm throwing wood chips in, I have a smokestack that comes out the side. And I can actually take my glass and I can cap my hand over it and I can get smoke to go into my old fashioned. I get a smoked old fashioned.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You fancy motherfucker.
Kids don't eat wasabi, but I sure as hell drink smoked old fashioned.
Do you ever like get crazy and switch it up and make a Manhattan every once in a while?
Nope. What do you think I am, Marty Jannetty?
I'm so basic when I go out and I'm like, I'll try something new. I just get like a margarita.
It's fine though.
Dude, I love margaritas.
I do too.
Restaurant.
Dude, Frozen's.
I'm not that basic.
Or
I like it on the
rocks. Yeah.
Rocks.
You know what I started doing too? And this
rock salt rim.
Before we go into anything else, I just want to say I've really gotten into going out to like good, authentic Mexican restaurants and just picking off of their tequila menus and just sitting there and just having a good time, just sipping that on the rocks.
Lori does that.
I love it.
And dude, I'm there sipping my strawberry margarita on the rocks.
It comes with one of the sombrero, like, toothpick things.
Yeah, in all fairness, I usually get, like, same thing. Like,
yeah.
Nicer Mexican. If I'm
Turbana.
If I'm going to, like, a middle of the road, like, good food Mexican restaurant, but not, like, fancy tequila, I'll just get Mexican beer.
Of course,
But, like, if we're going to a higher-end place, I'll get their, like, fresh juice and jalapenos and in the margarita. Like, I'll get a fancy margarita. Yeah, you gotta treat yourself. And then I'll get a Modelo. You know?
Yeah. And then you'll get tacos that have like 20,000 calories in them because you put chorizo and carnitas and pollo.
Did it last night.
So, Adam, we are ending this episode here after having so much fun today.
Oh, bummer.
But I have to know, and everyone else has to know, what's on tap and where can you find us?
Yeah, man. Nothing really on tap. It's all going places. First up, we have the Homebrew and Blues up there in Coopers Lake, September 23rd. So come join us there. We will be bringing a Cascade Hopped Cream Ale and a West Coast IPA. So, kind of just passion projects of mine that I wanted to try out, and that's a good place to get a lot of feedback, so we're doing it. And then new to the calendar, October 7th, we will be at the Steel City Big Pour at the Trash Tent.
Oh, yeah, baby!
So come get some beer. We will have whatever's left over from Coopers Lake, probably that West Coast, you know, a little bit of that. If the cream ale is really good, I'm going to save it for another event we'll talk about later. And then I will have something else, probably a new porter we're working on.
Okay,
that sounds
good.
So come out, try it out. Then we go back to Greensburg on October 22nd for Homebrew and Chill with the All Saints Brewing Company, the return of Shat-Faced. So come get it. We're brewing that in a few weeks. And then if you miss it out in Greensburg, because I know that's a haul for you people, October 28th, Brewing for a Cause. Shat-Faced will be there too. Ooh. Part two. Same beer. But
Michael returns.
6 days later. So, Michael's coming home. But, and he's bringing all them knife skills we talked about. I need to get a new sign now.
Yeah.
Come out and see us. Not much in the Jojatorium. I am putting it on Instagram, bash_brew, when we have beer to get rid of, just because I need to fill kegs for all these other events. But, yeah, we're filling up October. Man, we also have another private event we'll talk about after it happens or right before it happens. But, so we got a bunch of stuff. I got two things that week, a big pour, and then we got two right at the end of the month. So, boom, I'm going to enjoy November.
Yeah.
I already got a Schwartz beer on the brew schedule.
Perfect.
Because so, I want a brew schedule.
And if you want to go on Adam down here in the Brew Labs at @Bash_Brew on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X. And that's going to include all those festival dates and the beers that are brewing down here in the Judge Torum. So you can hit them in the DMs and see if you can get your hands on some. Don't forget about the boys. We are at Decane WTB on all social media. Anything begins with social, ends with media. And it's Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, YouTube, and anything else we can get our hands on. We are continuing to ask for people to check out our YouTube and give us a follow. And the people who are listening to us right now, we really appreciate you guys. So from down here in the Judgetorium, as we continue to ramp up in spooky season and ramp down on Beer Fest season, well, I'm ramping down, you're ramping up.
Yes.
Until next time, cheers. Did you say fat as fuck or fast as fuck?
Fat as fuck, boy, at the beginning.
Yeah. When the doctor came in and said, I don't know how to be woke about this. We're not supposed to fat shame, but you fat as fuck. And I'm just like, wow, wake up call. I might have to stop drinking.